Good morning, everybody. How do you like our new place?
I love it.
That's beautiful. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God has blessed us with a wonderful new place, and I'm very excited to be here this morning. During the night, the devil gave me a hard time because he knew we were coming into a new area. But by the grace of God, everything is going to be for the glory of God, and everything's going to be awesome. Amen. You must understand something. Where the kingdom of God goes, light goes, and the devil doesn't like light. He likes to give us a hard time, but by the grace of God, he is overcome. And I want to do something. The other night, I actually said hello to somebody in America. And now we've got two people in Great Britain. Can you believe it? The one's name is Joe. Joe sent me a SMS. Spoke to me on some messenger or something that comes with YouTube. And she's battling a lot. And there was another lady by the name of Laura. And they're going through a lot of things. And there's a lot of people worldwide that are battling. How many of you know that? And they are looking for God to help them. And I want to give you some good news. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. As we sang in that song. And God is well able to sort out your problem. Sometimes we need a little something. And today I'm going to be speaking about a breakthrough anointing. But before we get to that, I think we need to just pray for these people. We've got a lot of people, including people that have come here today that have a need. But let's trust God wherever these people are right now. They need help. God can help them. We see miracles at these meetings every single Sunday. We see the power of God move. Maybe they're in a place where they don't see things like that and they don't experience that. The key element here is two things. The presence of God must be there and the anointing must be there, because without the anointing, nothing happens. But let's pray for them. Laura has some residual problems from some kohos giving her a hard time. And Joe has a lot of infirmity in her body. And let's trust God. Let's pray for them. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just want to thank you today that you bless us in so many different ways. Lord, this is a very exciting ministry, and it's such a privilege to be part of what you are busy doing. And Lord, I'm very excited to be able to say that God is not dead. I'm very excited to say that what God did in the biblical days, what Jesus did when he walked the earth, Lord, we see the same things happen. And Lord, that is just mind-blowing. We praise you and we glorify you for that. Lord, I bring before you these two people, Laura and Joe. And Lord, whoever else is out there that likes to go to our channel and watch and has help and needs help, Lord, I'm asking you for special grace today. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just pray against every spirit, every devil, every demon, every principality, every power, every curse, all darkness that is working in their lives. I speak this word by faith. Devil, you are bound in the mighty name of Jesus by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing was released for every single individual. And devil, know your place. Back off in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for healing. I thank you for restoration. I thank you for life. I thank you for peace. And I thank you for breakthrough. In Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Now, I want to do something that we haven't done in a fairly long time, but I want us to do it. Can I ask that we all stand, please? We've moved into a new area. Let me explain to you how things work. When you move into a new area, there are principalities and powers and all sorts of rubbish like that that like to give us a hard time. How many of you know that you got one or two devils giving you a hard time in your life? Well, it's biblical. Don't look at me in a funny way. It's what the Bible says. Or am I sucking the stuff out of my thumb? Here's what the Bible says. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When I said look at your neighbor, I'm simply meaning that the enemy is coming for you and you and you. You see, here's one thing about the devil. There's no apartheid in the devil's kingdom. He's got no problem whether you're black or white or pink or purple, whether you're Afrikaans or English or Portuguese or Spanish or even Greek. Georgie, the devil's going to give you a hard time. Why? Because he doesn't like you. But that should make you feel good, because if the devil doesn't like you, then you're probably not part of his kingdom. Then you should be actually feeling quite good about yourself right now. Yeah, the devil doesn't like nobody. He's cranky. There used to be a show on TV about like grumpy men or something. I can't remember what it was. Can you remember that? I tell you, if you put the devil there, you would be like, what? He's always cranky, he's always grumpy, and he's always got something to complain about. And he doesn't like anybody that is not the way that he is. But the fact of the matter is, God gives us victory. Amen? Amen? God gives us victory. So here's what I want you to do. Put your hands on your heart, close your eyes, and pray this with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I come before the throne of God today. I thank you, Lord, that I am a child of God, that I am destined to be blessed, that I am the head and not the tail, that I am the top and not the bottom, that I am blessed and not cursed. And I now renounce every spirit, every devil, every demon, all darkness, all wickedness that is coming against my life. I put my foot down and I command you to go to the pit of hell. I claim today the blessing of God and breakthrough for my life. I thank you for this now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Please sit down. I preached this sermon about 2 years ago. God gave me a very specific word. A lot of people around me were battling, were going through difficult times. And I spoke to God and I said to the Lord, Lord, please give me a message that can help these people. Give me something that will speak to them. Give me, you must understand something. When God gives a word, God releases power for the word to come to pass. It's called the Rhema word of God. When God speaks a word, there is a power that goes with that word for it to come to pass. It's like when God said, let there be light. Listen to this. God only spoke it. Boom, it happened. When God speaks in a certain way, the power of God moves. The Holy Spirit is instantly there to bring it to pass. And I prayed and I fasted and I asked God to speak to me about what was going on. And God gave me a word. And today, because we are in a new area, we are in a new place. And for me, this is kind of like a new beginning. You know, I used to preach in the south of Joburg for years and years and years. Some of these people here were with me back then. And then for about 10 years, give or take, God moved me out of this area. Now we're back. And I see that in a sense as a breakthrough in my own life. I want to share with you this message again. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass that in that day, the burden shall be taken away from off of your shoulders and his yoke from off of your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Listen to me carefully. What is it that destroys the yoke? Okay, now some people don't really know what the word yoke means because it's one of those weird old English words that we don't use anymore today. So a lot of people, when you talk about these things, they smile and they nod their heads, but they don't actually know what you're talking about. So let me help you to understand. In the days that the Bible was written in, the way that they used to plow, they used to have an animal and then they used to have a tree trunk. You know, you get those trunks, it comes up and then it sort of goes out in a Y. And they would take that, they would cut it off, and then they would invert that so that it is upside down. So it's coming down like that and like that. And they would put that thing around the neck of the cattle. It was big, it was thick, it was heavy. It must have been extremely uncomfortable for the poor animal, but that was the only way that they could do things because there wasn't other ways to do it. And the Bible says the yoke. How many of you know that sometimes we also carry a yoke? It's like there's this heaviness upon us. Have you ever had a situation or a sensation that your spirit feels heavy? You know, it's like, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't feel, I just don't want to do nothing. Many times it's because you have a burden. There is a yoke upon your life. It could be a yoke of poverty. It could be a yoke of sickness. It could be a yoke of frustration, irritability, anger. Who knows? It can be a lot of things. But it's something that's forcing you down. And it limits your life. The devil loves to do that. You must understand something. Satan doesn't want nobody to prosper. His attitude is, if I can't have it, you can't have it. Which is wrong. Because God still wants to bless us. Now the scripture here says, it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken from off of your shoulders and the yoke from off of your neck. Sometimes we have spiritual things that weigh us down. And a lot of people are not really that open to the spirit world. And because they're not open to the spirit world, they go to other things to try and deal with it. Like maybe they go for hypnosis, or maybe they go for some kind of medical treatment or something to that effect. But the fact is, a lot of people simply have a yoke that is put upon them by the enemy that needs to be dealt with. Now, it says here, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So let me ask you a question. How do you remove a yoke from somebody if that somebody never comes under an anointing? Can you take it off? Okay, I don't want to argue with the Word of God. Let's make one thing clear. If the Word of God says the only way for the yoke to be broken is by the anointing, then God means the only way for the yoke to be broken is because of the anointing. That means popping a pill is not going to take away the yoke. Positive thinking is not going to take away the yoke. Hypnosis is not going to take away the yoke. Smoking funny things is not going to take away the yoke. Snorting weird things is not going to take away the yoke. Jack Daniels doesn't know what to do with the yoke. Okay? There's only one way to deal with the yoke. The anointing. If you can't come to a place where the anointing and the power of God moves, forget about it. There is no way to deal with your yoke. And let me tell you something. Witch doctors don't deal with yokes. They add more pressure to your life. Because the kingdom that they serve is not the kingdom of God. You know, I've heard a lot of people say to me, but I went to see this person and they gave me these things to plant in my garden, but they have a gift from God. No, they don't. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you plant weird roots and funny stuff and hairs and fibers and nail clippings and stupid things in your garden and now everything's going to be okay. It's unbiblical. And what generally tends to happen is you do stuff like that, your life just goes further down into the toilet. But where the anointing is, the power of God is released for the yoke to be removed. Isaiah 10:27 is a prophecy spoken by Isaiah over Judah while they were under the yoke of oppression that came from the Assyrians. In other words, they were being oppressed by a group of people much bigger, much stronger than they were, called the Assyrians, and the Assyrians put a very heavy burden and a very heavy yoke upon them. We see the supernatural manifestation of this anointing a short while later. So the word is spoken in Isaiah 10. And then in Isaiah 37, Isaiah is now showing us how the prophecy that was spoken comes to pass. Do you agree with me that when God gives a word, He will make sure that it'll come to pass? My friends, the Bible says God is not a man that He should lie. When God speaks, something is going to happen. So in Isaiah 37, this is what happens. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death, listen to this, 158,000 men in the Assyrian camp yesterday. Come on. That is like mind-blowing. God decided it's time for things to change. He wants to liberate His people. And what does He do? He sends the angel of death to walk through the Assyrian camp. Because remember, they were oppressing His people. They were being unjust. They were being unfair. They were being ungodly. And God brought judgment upon them. In one day, 158,000 people were destroyed. When God says, I will break the yoke, God means, I will break the yoke. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 158,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. These people went to sleep, but they never woke up. Because God said, it's time for my people to be set free. So, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. In other words, when the king heard about this, he said, "Hey, I can't fight this. We're leaving. Pack your bags. We're going." Can you fight God? No. He learned the hard way that you can't. He broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and he stayed there. So, God sent forth an anointing that would cause oppression to cease. Why did the angel of the Lord go into the enemy's camp and destroy the works of the enemy? Because God said, I will release an anointing to break this yoke. Do you hear that? I will release an anointing that is going to come and break this yoke. Sometimes the anointing is released upon men. I can give you an example. Samson had the strength of like 10 men or even more. And he only had that strength because God supernaturally anointed him. You must understand, this had nothing to do with his physique. He probably didn't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I can't say that he didn't, but I'm saying he probably didn't, because his power did not come from his body. It didn't come from his muscles. His power came from the Spirit of God's anointing that rested upon him, that gave him the ability to do that. So sometimes the anointing is released upon men, but other times the anointing is released upon an angel. Let me teach you something about angels. Angels can also not just do whatever they please. Everybody does what God wants. You don't do what God wants, you got problems. You know, sometimes we have this idea that, oh, but why doesn't God's angels just come and do this and this and this for me? Well, until God doesn't speak it into their lives, they can't come and do it. And if there's not an anointing available for them to go and do it, they can't do nothing. I think it's Psalm 120 that says that the angels of the Lord do his bidding. We can't command angels. We can pray and ask God for help and for breakthrough, etc., etc. And sometimes everybody has at least one angel in their life. Depending on your call, you can have a couple more. But still, until the anointing is not released, they also can't do nothing. Whether it be you or me or them, everybody that wants to do something in the kingdom of God needs anointing. Now, regardless, when God sends forth his anointing, things are about to change. In this case, God issued forth an anointing to specifically grant his people a godly breakthrough. Now, when God released the anointing, where did the anointing go? It came to rest upon an angel. And when it rested upon that angel was empowered by God. 158,000 people were destroyed in one day. The purpose of which was to liberate God's people who had received a promise that the yoke would be broken. In this case, the anointing was released for the people, but the anointing was released upon an angel so that the angel could do what was necessary for the people to have the benefit thereof. Amen. And if there was no anointing, it doesn't matter what that angel wanted to do. He would not have the power or the ability to do it, because it's the anointing that empowers. It's interesting to note that the anointing seems to have done everything for them. The people in this case didn't have to do anything. You see, you don't read that they went out and they waged war. The Assyrians were too powerful for them. They couldn't win them. But the anointing and the power of God came and broke the yoke. This was by no means an isolated incident, for we see the same principle at work in many other circumstances in the Bible as well. Later on in the book of Isaiah, we see that Israel was in bondage to Babylon. The Babylonians had taken the Israelites and they had taken them out into oppression. And in Isaiah 45, we read the following from verse 1. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and I will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut down bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored up in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by your name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by your name, and I bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and I create the darkness. I bring prosperity and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. as in the case of Judah, who was in bondage, so the Israelites are now in bondage. As in the case of Judah needing a breakthrough from God, now Israel is needing a breakthrough from God, and there is now a yoke upon them that needs to be removed. Now, how did God destroy the yoke over the Judeans? God released an anointing. When the anointing was released, the power of God broke through and things changed. Amen. Now, let's ask a question. What is the anointing? What is the anointing? We can call it the power of God, the enablement of God, the equipping of God. Let's look at that. The anointing can be seen, is my understanding of, is the supernatural power of God to empower an individual or an angel to fulfill God's purpose. I've said to you before, if you think of a car is an amazing instrument. It can take you from here to Cape Town. It can take you from here to Timbuktu. It can take you from here to Cairo. But a car needs something specific to make it go. It's called petrol, fuel. If you don't put fuel in a vehicle, it's actually useless. But then you got to think of it this way too. No two cars are the same. Okay. You could have two Jettas and they're exactly the same. But what I'm trying to talk about is you can get a vehicle that is created for, let's call it pleasure, a cruise ship. You can take another vehicle that is created to fulfill a specific purpose, like a chainsaw. You start it, and you cut down a tree. It works for you. You can have another thing that is for transportation, like a bus. You can take another thing that is, it makes life easier for us, your vehicle that takes you to the shops and takes you back. What the vehicle is going to do is not determined by the petrol. The petrol only enables the vehicle to be what it is. Everybody has a different calling. Some of us are prophets, some of us are priests, some of us are apostles, some of us are teachers, as the Bible says. The petrol doesn't enable the car to plow. It has to be a tractor before it can plow. But without the petrol, which I'm sort of referring to loosely, the anointing, you can't operate. So there's something inside of you. The anointing doesn't make you into something. The anointing allows you to be what God called you to be. It's the same with you. It's the same with you. It's the same with me. It's the supernatural empowerment by the Holy Spirit for the gifts, the destiny, and everything that God put inside of us to begin to operate and to manifest. So there are different types of anointing given by the Holy Spirit to accomplish different types of purpose. I'm going to give you an example. The anointing on Solomon's life gave him supernatural wisdom. The anointing on Samson's life gave him supernatural strength and power. The anointing upon Elijah brought forth prophecy and miracles. And we know that there is an anointing that can heal the sick and set the captives free. If we read about Jesus, the anointing upon his life enabled him to do all of that. There may be a lot of different types of anointings, but for today, I want to talk about a breakthrough anointing. Let me ask the question. Who here today in any way believes that they are desperately in need of a breakthrough? Well, that would seem to be pretty much everybody here. And I do believe that that's right, because right now the enemy is very busy and there's a yoke on most people's lives. We all feel some form of oppression. Some people battle with sickness. Some people battle with finances. Some people battle in relationships. Some people are in darkness and they don't know where to go. Well, we need the anointing to come and break the yoke. Both Israel and Judah were liberated by what I like to refer to as a breakthrough anointing. The enemy had them and he wouldn't let them go. And in one day, God's anointing caused a breakthrough. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples were thrown in jail. Yet the breakthrough anointing of the Holy Spirit provided a way out. Let's read about that. Acts chapter 5, verse 18. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors and brought them out. Okay, let's compare it with what we read earlier on in Isaiah chapter 10. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. How was it destroyed? The anointing came upon an angel. An angel was moved by the Spirit of God. The angel went and did what God wanted to do. Was it any different? Yeah. Well, in the same way, an angel came and opened the doors, released the chains, took them out of prison. But what was needed for the breakthrough to come? It shall come to pass that on that day, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Maybe you've never thought about it this way, but this angel was anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit to go and open the doors, to take off the chains, and to escort them out of prison. It's still the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. Now, let's take likewise in the book of Acts chapter 12, Peter was also supernaturally released from prison once again by an angel. I said to you earlier on, every one of us has angels in our life. At least one. Depending on your call in the kingdom of God, or for the purposes of what God put you here, you could have more than one. But just like I can't do much without the anointing, they can't do much without the anointing. Once that anointing comes, it empowers us for change. It empowers us for breakthrough. It empowers us for liberation or victory or whatever it is that we need. Let's take a closer look at how the breakthrough anointing worked for Israel. The first thing that I find quite amazing is that this anointing can manifest itself in the most unlikely of ways. When God releases anointing, you haven't got the foggiest idea what is going to happen next, because it brings the supernatural power of God into a situation. Did you hear what I said? Supernatural. When I say the word supernatural, what do you think of? Well, just to be practical, it's not normal. Okay, when we have certain problems, our brain operates in the way that the normal way to fix the problem would be this and this and this and this. But when the power of God comes in there, you can take normal, throw it out the window, because normal doesn't work for God. Jesus did walk on water. Normally you can't. Okay, when you add a couple of Jack Daniels in, you probably think you can, but you still can't. But when the Spirit of God moves and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is present, normal is no longer the standard. Now supernatural becomes the standard. Do you remember when Jesus needed to pay the temple tax? How did he pay the temple tax? Well, he said to Peter, listen, we got to pay tax. What can you do? Go catch a fish. It's like me saying to him, he has to pay for his car. He doesn't have money right now. Ach, don't have a stress, pal. Come, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. His wife is going to have a panic attack. It's like, oh, that'll never work. But who says? If God speaks the word, it will come to pass. And he went and he caught the fish. And guess what? When he opened the mouth, there was the money needed to pay the temple tax. Would you ever come up with that even in your wildest dreams? Now, I want to tell you something. God's got ways to get you out of the dwang that you never even thought of. But what's needed is the anointing. You see, when Jesus spoke the word, the anointing was released. The right fish was sent down somewhere to the bottom. This fish was thinking, what's wrong with me? I'm swimming somewhere and I didn't want to go there. What's wrong with me? I'm eating dirt. Until he found that piece of gold. And then this fish swam up and he went into a net. And all of that happened under the command and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because an anointing was released for breakthrough. Amen. Amen? Okay, now, in the first instance, Cyrus was an unbeliever. He didn't know about God at all. He didn't care about God at all. Yet God used him and the anointing upon his life to break the yoke. Listen to me carefully. When God releases anointing, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're a donkey, because you remember the donkey spoke. I know for some people this is really strange, but the donkey spoke. And nobody drank nothing funny or weird for them to imagine that the donkey spoke. The donkey spoke. When the anointing of God moves, it doesn't care where you come from. It doesn't care who you are. This guy was a king. But when God wants you to do something, no matter how many people you have under you, you're still under God. You're going to do it. The anointing doesn't care your place, your position, your power. The anointing moved him to help the Israelites. Amen. The anointing works in strange ways, but the bottom line is it works. Generally, we may expect the anointing to only come upon believers. No. When God releases the anointing, it'll fulfill the purpose of God. Whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, whether it's a Philistine or an Israelite, doesn't matter. The power of God is going to work. When God wants to fulfill his purpose, nothing will stop him. Now, let's look at a couple of the things that is shown to us in the book of Isaiah. What was it? 45, eh? Isaiah 37. Let's look at a couple of things. The first thing that he says there is that the anointing is going to subdue the nations, which kind of means to empower or overpower your enemies or your adversaries. While thinking about it, he said, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke at that stage was the people that held Israel in bondage. A whole nation was overpowered by one word from God. If one word from God can overpower a nation, how many of you know that one word from God can overpower whatever works through your boss? Or that person at work that likes to give you a hard time. Or even SARS. If somebody from SARS is watching, listen. You know, some people think that they are above everything. I want to tell you something. Nobody is above where God wants you to be. When God speaks a word, things are going to happen. And you see, the thing is, we read these things sometimes and our mind has this funny way of assigning it to a different era. And we have this thing like, oh, it happened then, but it can't happen now. Give me one good reason why not. Well, the Bible says God is the same yesterday and today and forever. The way God worked back then is the way God works now. You see, things were written down in the Bible to show us the principles of the kingdom of God, which are unchangeable or unchanging. God still does these things. The problem is people don't have faith anymore. You see, today when we have a problem, we run to some worldly organization to make a plan for us. Or we run to some man or some woman to please, we need help. Back then, these people had no one but God to help them. And he came through for them. It's time that we get to a place that we put our faith in God once again, the way that these people lived their lives. You see, technology has made it difficult for us. Because today there's all sorts of programs and this and that and organizations and pillikies and all sorts of stuff that can probably help us. But and also probably can't, especially not if you've got spiritual problems. We need to have faith in God and trust God to break the yoke that is upon our life. Does God still do miracles today? Oh, yes, he does. But you see, back in the day, people had no choice but to believe in God because there was no other way. Today, we've got a million other ways. And God is normally lost in queue. And that's why we don't experience a lot of the power of God anymore. We need to start believing again. We need to start trusting again. We need to have faith again. Jesus asked the question once. He said, when I return to this world, will I still find faith? I want to tell you, that is a prophecy. Especially about the day and the age that we live in today. Jesus knew the closer we get to the end of the age, the less people are going to have faith. And I can tell you now, because I've been in the ministry now for a very long time, Faith is something that is very difficult for today's people to operate in. Today we want to touch it, we want to feel it, we want to see it. We can't believe in just because you say it. Well, you know, the people of the old days had to believe it just because it was said. There was nothing else. What makes us so different? We're not different. We have to dig deep, get to the place that we operate by faith again. And then we will see a lot more miracles than what we see right now. Okay. The first thing that he says there in Isaiah 37 is that when the anointing comes, nations will be subdued. The second thing he says there is he will strip kings of their armor. In other words, God will cause the enemy to become vulnerable to the point that they can be easily defeated. Even kings can be stripped of their armor. You know, over this area are principalities and powers and rulers that want this area. The area that we're in right now is very dark. It's got nothing to do with the color of the skins of the people that live here, please. It's got to do with what's spiritually in this area. This area is dark. There is a lot of drug abuse. There is a lot of prostitution. There is a lot of crime. There is a lot of corruption. You name it, it's here, all around us. It's darkness. The prince of darkness has power here. What is the opposite of darkness? Ah, it's light. Where does light come from? It comes from God and from God only. And God, when he wants to, can make his light shine anywhere. And that instantly changes things. So, to strip kings of their armor, God will cause the enemy to become vulnerable so as to be easily defeated. Even nations will have to bow before God if he wants to give breakthrough to his people. Now, if God can cause nations to bow before him so that his people can be liberated, what makes you think that God can't sort out the one or two or three demons that you have in your life giving you a hard time? Or the one or two or three people giving you a hard time? Nothing is impossible for God. The next thing that he speaks about there is he says that he will open doors so that the gates will not shut. Listen to this. This comes from Isaiah 37. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. I'm just talking about what we already read. He says he will open the door so that the gates cannot be shut. In other words, God says, I will, when my anointing comes, those doors are going to be pushed so far open. In fact, that door will no longer even be there. It's just going to be blown away. It's like when you take a bazooka to open the door. There's no more door. You can come and try and close it later on, but you better bring your bricks and you better bring your steel because there's nothing left. When God opens a door, the devil can't close it. Look at your neighbor and say, when God opens a door, nobody closes it again. Now I have a question for you. How many of you here today is in some way stuck before a closed door? You see, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I think even in a sense, in this ministry, we've been before closed doors. Well, no more. You know what? God is opening doors. God is opening doors that he says in his word, nobody will shut again. And it's time for us to go through that open door. But where does it come from? Because of the anointing. Because of the power of the Spirit of God that's busy moving. In other words, when the breakthrough anointing comes, doors that have been shut begin to open. Then he says he will go ahead and he will level the mountains. What would a mountain symbolize? I would say obstacles, which can include problems. Sometimes we want to start something. Let's say you want to start a new business. Just from a practicality point of view, you want to start a new business. There's some oak there at the government department that's giving you a hard time every time you get there. Oh, no, but you need this form. You need that form. Oh, this is not right. That's not right. You need this. You need that. And it's like no matter what you do, nothing wants to work. And one day the power of God comes. A breakthrough anointing is released. You walk in there. There's another oak sitting there. The anointing caused that one to stay at home. He's got gypo guts for the day. You don't want to move. God moves you. And the next person sitting there, he's got no problem with any of that stuff. It's like, dish, dish, dish. Yes, your thing, you can go. When God wants to move an obstacle, the obstacle is going to move. God doesn't care. Listen to me. God doesn't answer to any government department. God doesn't answer to any president. They answer to Him. When God's favor is upon you, when a breakthrough anointing is released upon your life, it doesn't matter what is trying to stop you. It doesn't matter how big the obstacle that is in your way. It's going to move. I'm thinking of that show, Extreme Makeover. They put the bus there and then the guy says, "Bus driver, move that bus." And it's like, wow. And I get this vision. God is like, "Demon, move your backside." That thing is going to say nothing. It's like, ooh, here we go. Praise God. Amen. God will break down gates of bronze and break bars of iron. That is, sometimes we are locked in. In a sense, we are caged. You've tried this, it doesn't work. You've tried that, it doesn't work. Because the enemy has put something around you to limit you. God didn't call you to be limited. God called you to be prosperous. God called you to be blessed. God will break down gates of bronze. God will break bars of iron. Looking at it from this point of view, it paints a picture of somebody that is in a prison and that person needs to break out of that prison. Let's equate it to people being in bondage. Once again, people can be in bondage to a lot of things. One of the things that some people seem to be in bondage to is lack. Anybody in this place in bondage to lack? In other words, you just never seem to have enough. Okay, so respond. Who feels sometimes you in bondage to lack? Maybe you're in bondage to poverty. Maybe you're in bondage to sickness or infirmity. Well, God will break the bars. When God releases a breakthrough anointing, it doesn't matter how many generations that thing has been in your life, it is breaking. Amen. It's going. Amen. How do you get out of that cage? God takes you out through the anointing. Then He says, "I will give you the treasures of darkness." Wow. "I will give you the treasures of darkness." If you think about that, that's quite amazing. Who's the devil called? Okay, he's called the Prince of Darkness. You're not incorrect. But he's also called the thief. Whatever he has right now, he's stolen from somebody somewhere. He's stolen a lot of peace. He's stolen a lot of joy. He's stolen a lot of prosperity. He's stolen a lot of money. There's a lot of things hidden in darkness. Yeah. So, "I will give you the treasures of darkness." Now, we can look at this from two points of view. Darkness can be linked to Satan, who is the prince of darkness. In other words, what Satan has stolen, God will make him give it back. And it's time for the devil to give back. Amen? But then, it can also mean that which has been hidden or obscured will be revealed. Now, the question has to be, why would God hide treasures? Well, because God also knows there's a thief out there. And if the thief can see the treasures, the thief will run away with the treasures. So God hides them sometimes. But sometimes the anointing will come upon an individual and God will illuminate something that will turn into a treasure in their life, which will give a breakthrough. Okay. So God's illumination will reveal prosperity that we otherwise couldn't see. I've done this before, but I want to quickly do it again. Let me see. What have I got here? Okay, I've got this here. Mr. Bean, come stand here. This is the South African version of Mr. Bean. He's just as funny. He's just the Portuguese version. Yeah, you know. The UK one, no? Yeah, he's better than the UK one. He's actually quite funny. Yeah. Now, let's look at something quickly. If this is now, this my card is in here. Okay. So this represents prosperity, right? Can we agree? Take it. It's not difficult, is it? Close your eyes. Take it. Try again. Stop. Open your eyes. Take it now. What did you notice? When he was in darkness, the prosperity was all around him, but he kept missing it. But the moment the light came, boing, there we go. You can sit down. A lot of us, that's exactly where our life is. Our life is in darkness for whatever the reason might be. Until the anointing and the power of God doesn't come, some of us, there's some of you sitting here today, you are this close to your breakthrough, this close to prosperity. But because of darkness, you keep just missing it. It's there, but I'm taking out there. And sometimes we want to give up. Why you need to give up? God needs to illuminate with His light, with His love, your life for you to see. I repeat, I will give you the treasures of darkness. When do we come to that place when the breakthrough anointing starts coming into your life? You begin to see things in a different way. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people in this life, they look at something and they say, that's not for me, because you are seeing it in darkness. But turn the light on and it's like, wow, that's everything I ever asked for. God's illumination through breakthrough, through the anointing, can cause you to see things in a completely different way. Amen? Okay. Then he says, I will give you the riches stored up in secret places. Wow. How's this? This is God's word. He says, I have plenty riches that is stored up in secret places. Again, I want to say to you, the reason why God stores things in secret places is because there's something called the thief that walks around looking for it. God hides things. We all the same. Where do you keep your money? It doesn't lie on your dressing table. Amen. It doesn't lie in front of your front door. Because it's going to disappear quick. So you take it, you hide it in a secret place. Don't tell people where it is. Just keep that to yourself. But everybody's got some secret place where we keep the stuff that's precious to us because we don't want to lose it. God's the same. God's got a lot of things stored up, and some of it has got your name on it. Some of it has got your name on it. Some of it has got your name on it. But I want to tell you something. On your own, you can't find it. But when the anointing comes, it's like, go a bit left, go a bit right. Did you ever play hot and cold when you were younger?
Yeah.
Okay. You hide something. And then you go sit. I remember when I was younger, me and my brother and my cousin, we used to play. Then you go put something somewhere. Then you go sit there on the couch and you're like, all like, oh, no, you're cold. You got, oh, you're freezing. Oh. And then when they get close, oh, you're hot. Oh, you're going to burn. But that's kind of like how it is. When the anointing comes, the anointing begins to direct you. That's where the treasure is. Boom. Breakthrough in your life. God will give you the riches stored up in secret places. So God has vast riches stored up for us in secret places. Again, it is hidden because God doesn't want just anybody to find it. God will direct you to find. And I want to give you some peace. What is yours is yours. Nobody else will ever find it because God is in charge. There's things hidden for you. Probably you've never found them. There's things hidden for you. Probably you've walked around them many times, but till the anointing doesn't illuminate you, you will never find it. But He can walk right past what belongs to you, and God will not switch on the light. He will never find it. Mine is mine. Yours is yours. We need to find our own. The anointing gives you access to these secret places. And then he says, God does all of this for His name and for His glory. And then he ends off this passage. He says, I form the light. I create the darkness. I bring prosperity. I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. This anointing, which we're going to call the breakthrough anointing, brings God's light into your life, giving you the opportunity to see things in a different way. Ultimately, because of this anointing, God causes prosperity to come into people's life. I want to ask a question. Does God want you to prosper? You know, the Bible says the Lord delights in the prosperity of His servant. There is some weird movement of really spiritual, religious, spiritual individuals that sometimes has this thing that it's not godly to be blessed to the point of prosperity, which I find really, really difficult to understand. You want to tell me God put us all here so that we could all battle and suffer because that's somehow going to make us closer to God? I'm sorry, I can't see the logic in that. It makes no sense to me. God wants us to be blessed. God delights in the prosperity of His servant. God delights when you are blessed and you are blessed and you are blessed. You know, when you have no food on your table, I want to tell you something. God doesn't sit up there with a big smile on His face. God is a father. Fathers care for their children. You know, right now I want the best for my kids and God wants the best for you. But sometimes because of specific reasons, we are in a place where we can't experience the blessing. Sometimes we're under a curse. Okay, now we're touching a touchy subject again. Because there's a lot of people that say, oh, but because you're a Christian, you can't be under a curse. Well, then why did Jesus become a curse for you? If you can't come under a curse. You see, it doesn't make sense that way. And sometimes you also don't know the truth. You see, the Bible says for a specific reason, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Today I gave you quite a bit of truth. I gave you insight into how God feels about things. If God wanted to do all of this for the Israelites, why won't He want to do it for you or you or you? Aren't we all children of God from that point of view? You see, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God is not a respecter of man, which loosely translated would simply be God doesn't have favorites. So if God's willing to do something for one person, it shows us that this is the principles God operates on. Then I can trust God for the same thing, can't I? Well, it has to be that way. Otherwise, none of this stuff makes any sense. God wants to bless us all. If God wanted to give a breakthrough to the Israelites, God still wants to give a breakthrough to you and me. It's time for us to begin to trust Him the way that they did. You see, the thing is, the Israelites could only turn to God because who else was going to do something for Him? And like I said to you earlier on, sometimes we turn to all sorts of other things instead of turning to God. It's time for us to turn to God. It's time for us to trust Him, to begin to pray and ask God for the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon our lives. A little story from my own life. Many years ago, probably round about the year 2000, I was going through a bit of a dry spell in my own life. And I was battling sort of in a sense in myself, but also in my ministry, because I felt like things were not going forward. You know, everybody wants to work for something and actually see that you're achieving something, you're going forward, right? Even in the ministry, we want to go forward. I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to be in the same place all the time. I have drive. I have ambition. I want to go somewhere. I want to do something for God. I want to make a difference. And it felt for me for a long time like things were just stuck. It was like nothing was happening. And I began to pray about it. And one day I read a passage of scripture. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and He healed all who were oppressed by the devil. And you know, when I read that scripture, God spoke to me and God said, take note. Jesus did what He did because I anointed Him. You're no different. If Jesus couldn't operate without the anointing, what makes you think you can operate without the anointing? And you know what? I had one of those light bulb moments. Ding, ding, ding. And I realized, until I don't get the anointing, I'm not going to fulfill what God called me for. Going back to what I shared earlier on, if I was a car, I was running out of petrol. I needed more. And I began to pray. I began to pray and speak to God about the anointing. I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to do these things. I want to be a man of God. I want to make a difference. I want to bring healing into people's lives. I want to bring salvation into people's lives, but I can't do this on my own. Please, I need your anointing. And as I began to pray and fast and trust God for these things, the anointing began to increase. And you know what? It was a very short while later that the power of God broke through in my life in supernatural ways that if I had to talk to you about it, most of you would not even sleep. I had amazing experiences. I also had a couple of scary experiences, but they all pushed my life and this ministry forward. But it came because of the anointing. Everybody needs some kind of a change. But without the anointing, it's not going to come. Amen? You see, just knowing the Bible is one part of it. But the anointing must come upon the Word that lives inside of you before it's going to do something for you. You know, the devil, when he tempted Jesus in the desert, quoted Scripture. Was there any power in the Scripture that the devil quoted? No. Because Satan is not anointed. But Jesus, when he spoke the word, things changed. Why? Because Jesus was anointed. There's a lot of people running around in this world quoting scriptures left, right, and center. Nothing will ever happen until they get anointed. When you get anointing, the power is there to move things. The anointing will move mountains. The anointing will break open bars. The anointing will bring kings down to bow before God. But you can't do it. The anointing does it. So, we trust God for healing all the time, calling on Him for healing and the healing anointing in the Holy Spirit. God blesses many people for healing. In the same way, we must begin to trust God for like that breakthrough anointing. Maybe you've never looked at it from this point of view, but today I want you to look at it from that point of view. If you could come to church trusting God to heal your body, and you've seen God heal your body, or you've come to church trusting God to set you free from a demon, and He set you free from a demon, then you can now trust God for the anointing and the power of God to give you breakthrough in your life. Because we all need to have some breakthrough. The devil doesn't want people to go forward. And you must understand, he's called your adversary. Can I show you what an adversary is? Come here quick. Try and walk. Come here. This is what an adversary does. He doesn't want him to go. Yes. Yes. Amen. Okay, we can. The bottom line is this. Today I want to pray with you. We're going to trust God for that breakthrough anointing to begin to move in this place. And I tell you what God did for the Israelites, God can still do for all of us. He hasn't changed His mind. The principles of the kingdom of God will stand the test of time. They're the same. Whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, it doesn't matter. This is how God operates. This is how the power of the Holy Spirit moves. Did God speak to anybody? Give the Lord a big hand, please.
Thing. I always pray for people, never pray for myself. And this is honest truth. This week, I had two people in my heart that have been battling financial. And I say, Lord, I don't come before you for me. I'm coming for so and so. Please, Lord, open the door for these people. Two doors they opened this week for two people in 3 days. That means what God taught me this week is the truth. You believe salvation, start believing for finances. And the thing is, you prophesy over your money. You don't see it, you prophesy. You will come because God doesn't lie. That's what I want to share. God open. It's like... like you say, a light bulb that come into my, and I thought, wow. You know, you're depending on the pastor to break the curse. You're depending on this one to break your curse. You don't have. You go on your knees and say, Lord, your word really says this. Yes, I'm under that curse. Please, Lord, take me out of that curse. I want to be prosper. And you prophesy over your finances and you see what happens.
Amen. You know, probably next week, I'm going to go through Ezekiel 37 with you guys, the dry bones. How God commanded the prophet to prophesy. And when he obeyed God, and I've shared this with you a couple of times, but you know what? We need to repeat things because people forget. You heard what she said. There was a time where she applied certain things, and then I think it happens to all of us. We go through life. We go through trauma. We go through problems. We try and get out of that pit. And then while we're struggling to get out of that pit, we forget about certain other things. But the prophetic is extremely important because the prophetic started everything. How did God start everything that is around us? God spoke it. If you go back to the nitty-gritty, God prophesied, let there be light. God prophesied, let the earth and the waters be separate. God prophesied, let there be plants and trees, let there be animals. God prophesied, let man live. That's how God works. A small one.
When I used to use this, teaching in 2000, I'll never forget. I read in that book that this person used to go shopping and they didn't have enough money. And then he used to pray and prophesy that the money will be enough and the shopping that she needs to do, it will be on the trolley and the money will be enough. And one day I was in the same position. I went to Pick and Pay. I don't have enough money. I need some shopping. And I thought, I'm going to do it what this woman did. And I prophesied before I went in. I put everything that I needed in a trolley and I knew it. It was impossible for the money that I had to pay the groceries. Do you know that it was more than enough? He did work.
Amen. Praise God. Ladies. Okay. No, come stand this side. One this side, one that side. Here is a seed that you are sowing into the kingdom of God. Let's prophesy over the seed. Amen. Let's speak life over it. God commands us. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death. God said to the Israelites when they were in the desert, today I call heaven and earth as witnesses over you, that I have placed before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life so that you and your descendants may live. God wants us to choose life, therefore he wants us to speak life. Amen? Let's speak life. Let's prophesy over the seed, that it's going to bring you an abundant harvest. Amen. I'll do the prophesying. You trust God with me. Father, to prophesy is to speak the word of God and the will of God into a situation. And then we know the anointing will be there for it to come to pass. Today I am prophesying over the seed that these people put into this basket. This is for your name. This is for your glory. This is for your kingdom. And this is an opportunity that you are giving them to be blessed. So I prophesy godly breakthrough in the area of their finances, in the area where they are to some extent caged, locked up. I prophesy that their obstacles are going to be leveled. As you said in your word, I will level the mountains. I prophesy, Lord, that the enemies are going to come down and be defeated. Lord, in short, I prophesy breakthrough. As they sow into your kingdom, your word says there will always be a harvest. There will be a harvest of breakthrough. There will be a harvest of life. There will be a harvest of healing, restoration, deliverance, and salvation. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Yeah, there's coffee, tea, and something to eat over there. Please go and help yourself. We are going to take about a 20-minute break. The pastor needs some coffee. And then we're going to start praying. We're not going to move any chairs. We're going to be praying on this side. Okay. I'll call you when we're going to start praying.